Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, for He is good. For He is good. I will rejoice.
Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. Well, today we are entitling our message, Come On In. What do I mean by that? Well, background text of Ephesians 4:27 says, Neither give place to the devil. Neither give ground to the devil. Don't give him an outpost. Don't give him a stronghold. Certainly don't give him a fortress, but it all starts little by little, does it not? But what we're talking about is this question. Here's a question. We could have named it this, but you'll see why we named it something else here at the end. But the question is all sin the same? Is all sin the same? And we immediately want to go, yes, 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 it's all the same. And people use that as some sort of defense for whatever they want to get away with. It's a lot worse than what someone else wants to do. Because the truth is all sin the same? No. No. Just want to have a moment of silence to let that sink in. But I want you to think about it. When Jesus said that to even so much as look at a woman with lust is adultery, he wasn't saying you might as well go ahead and do it. You can already see right there's a difference, right, in the thought and the deed. So some sins are the thought and the deed. You get it? You have to have the sin in your heart and your mind before you do it in your action. But to add the act adds more sin. Do you see that? So is all sin the same? No. There's a difference in degree. In other words, the seriousness of it. A difference in progression, how far the sin has gone. And a difference in consequences. Now, all sin has been paid for in Christ, and all sin is damning. Yes, all sin is damning, but all sin doesn't cause the same temporal damage. Eternally, is all sin the same? Yes, in that sense. But temporally, and consequence-wise, and degree, and progression, sins are different. Different sins have different temporal consequences. People often miss the point about the consequences of sin. The simplistic notion that to make more of a deal over some sins than others is somehow wrong, that reveals an ignorance instead of a more mature understanding of the heinousness of all sin, whatever its kind. Some sins are worse than others. Yes, they are. They are worse in what they do. They wreck you faster and more completely. They damage others more severely. They reach out further and make it harder for you to come back to God. Oh, His hand isn't so short that it can't save you. But the further you are away, the more it's going to hurt to get you back. That's for sure. And we're going to be getting on to something very specific here in a moment, but I want to cover this ground. Again, the further you are away, the more it's going to hurt to get you back. Now, how many people are leaving the door open for the devil? There's many that are, but how many are assigning him a permanent place at the dinner table? It's a different question, and I want to give an example for us to think about. Are you ready? I hope you're being prayerful. People are trying to convince themselves that living together as an unwed couple is the same as any other sin. Well, it is the same in that it's a sin. And it's the same in that it's the same as some other types of sin. But it's not the same as any old sin. It has much more disastrous consequences than many people realize or are willing to admit. Staying in sin is much worse than playing with sin. Can I say that again? Staying in sin is much worse than playing in sin. When the Bible talks in 1 John about those that, you know, commit sin, we can't commit sin, it means continue in that thing. And that's what we're talking about here. Committing adultery and fornication is bad, but living in it in a constant state is worse. Yes, any sin is bad, but inviting it to stay is like inviting the devil to come in through an always open door. Not I'm just opening the door, oh, here comes the devil, but it's like the title of this message, come on in, live here, you're cohabitating with the devil. There's a difference between continuing to make bad choices, falling back and repenting and all that, and having only one choice to make, but refusing to do it. Like the difference between someone who is trying to overcome homosexuality and the person who won't move out of the house from his gay lover, and the person who marches in the gay pride parade, actively promoting it. Homosexuality isn't the issue with this missive, however, cohabitation is. Now again, fornication is wrong, of course. However, moving in with and then continuing to live with a sexual partner as an unmarried couple, that is outright rebellion. That's saying it doesn't matter. That's the person that would say, well, you are sinning too. And there's a difference between being repentant and being rebellious. Between having your life fall into types of sin and leaving your life there for the devil to be his plaything. It's open warfare. And it's different. You're leaving the door open for Satan 24/7 while you're in that state. At least the fornicator who's trying to repent isn't in that state at all times. Their heart needs to be changed. But at least their mind is willing and they're not trying to justify it. They keep closing the door and trying harder. And maybe they don't have it all right yet, but they're saying, I know that it's sin. The other people are saying it's not sin. Or they're turning it around to other people and saying, well, you have sin too, so who are you to judge me? But of course, 1 Corinthians 5 says we're supposed to judge those that are in the church. And it was in the context of a man who was sleeping with his father's wife. It wasn't his mother, but his father's wife. And Paul said, you can't do that. You've got to throw that guy out of there. That's not good. See, there's a difference. Some people are leaving the door open for Satan 24/7. Again, at least the fornicator is trying to repent. He's in that state at all times. And the outright rebel is one who only needs to make one choice. Stop living with the person. They're always in that state, though. They're there when they're there at home, and they're there when they're not at home, and they come back to it every night. They always have the devil right there. They're always leaving the light on for Satan to come on in. The person who slips falls into a snare. But the person who sits is living in one continually, and they like it. There is a difference. A big difference between someone who falls into a snare and someone who dwells in the den. Can I say that again? There's a big difference between someone who falls into a snare and someone who dwells in the den. The person struggling with sin is leaving God's table and eating the world's food. The person who stays in the house of sin is having the devil over for dinner every night with a permanent place at the table. You get my point there? There's one person that's going out into the world and he sees the things of the world. And it's like Proverbs, don't go to her house. But the man goes to her house and gets in trouble and all that. But what we're talking about is people that live in that house and invite others to come along and say that it's all right. Wow. Now do you see there's a big, big difference between the two. Again, the person who stays in the house of sin is having the devil over for dinner every night with a permanent place at the table. Now, whenever we sin, we're in danger of allowing the devil to get a foothold. And if it continues and forms into a habit, that foothold becomes a stronghold. Those that fall into habitual sin are battling against a stronghold that the devil has gotten in their lives. They keep fortifying it by their sin. That stronghold becomes a fortress. Now, the truth is that, you know, yes, every single one of us has sin. Every single one of us has at least one sin and that we're struggling with. We have what the Bible calls our besetting sin, and we're working on it, whether it be anger or covetousness or lying, gossip, slander, any number of things. It may be sexual perversion. Maybe you were brought up that way somehow and you were molested as a child and all of that. Of course, their sin doesn't excuse yours. You can be working your way out of that and learning to repent, but some people, they're not doing that. They're saying that just because other people have sin and have a besetting sin, that they can pick and choose the sin of their choice. Like, well, since everybody has one, I think I'll choose, killing people. You know? You say, oh, come on, Pastor. You're being a little bit ridiculous here. But let me tell you something. Isn't that what we're doing? We're saying, let's see. Chris over here, his sin is, you know, he's anger too much. And Bob over there, his sin is, well, he's just a glutton. Well, you know, I'm thin and I'm a nice, happy guy. I think I'll just sleep around. Oh, better yet, I will just shack up with somebody. You see the difference there, friend? You see the difference there? People that are struggling with it, that know they have a sin, and someone saying, ah, I think I'll do this on purpose. Now, yes, we have things and we willfully do them and it's on purpose, but that's no excuse for you to shack up with somebody. I mean, I got to hit this thing hard because people do this all the time. It's just like any other sin. Friends, you can't let cohabiting people, if you're a pastor, you can't let them take communion. They are living in the devil's den. And yes, there might be other people in that place that have fornication, homosexual issues, and all kinds of issues. But there's a difference between having to try to do all this battling and having to make just one choice. One choice. Again, whenever we sin, we're in danger of allowing the devil to get a foothold. If that continues, it forms into a habit. And those triggers just now become ammunition. You're firing at yourself there. You know, the devil's shooting fiery darts at you, but you're taking that shield of faith and tossing it aside and saying, here, let me help you. That foothold becomes a stronghold, and that stronghold becomes a fortress. Now, and again, in our scenario, when some live as an unmarried couple, they move into the fortress itself. They're paying the devil for the mortgage. Might as well put up a sign on the front door that says, welcome to the devil's place. Wow. Hard stuff, huh? And let me ask you a question. Maybe this scenario didn't apply to you. Maybe you aren't cohabitating with someone. And maybe you're thinking that excuses you from that habitual yet somewhat practice of saying, oh, you don't cheat on your wife, but you do with your eyes. You do with your mouth. You do with your mind. Believe me, those things will transfer your hands soon enough, and maybe they are in another way. I can be polite about that. Friends, again, there's a difference in sin that begins like an outhouse, you know, an outpost, an outhouse, then an outpost, then a stronghold, then a fortress, and can get so far that we move into the fortress. And you know what they call that? They call that apostasy. Apostasy. And there are many out there that think they're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, and yet they're not in the house. They're not in the ark. They're in the devil's temple. Again, let me say this again. It's a strong statement, but with an unmarried couple who are living together, they've moved into the fortress itself, and they're paying the devil for the mortgage. They might as well have a sign out there instead of, you know, saying Hatfield or Cohen or Smith or Jones. It says, the devil's place. So are you doing that in your life? Are you saying, come on in? Heavenly Father, this can be a tough thing, but really is an easy thing. We just need to make one decision. Someone out there today, Lord, that hears this message, help them to drive the devil out. They can repent by making one decision towards God. And you say that if we will draw near to you, you will draw near to us. Help that person, help me, help us all to draw closer to you today. This we pray in Jesus' name. God bless.
Oh yes, I'm glad to know my life is hid with Jesus, and that's where
see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternally.